This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, I'm on a new series, glory to God, called Kingdom Powers. Somebody say Kingdom Powers. And, it's a time with Halloween and all this. You see, you know, there's a kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. And we're in the kingdom of light. You know, the kingdom of darkness celebrates death. I don't know if you noticed that or not. And, you know, I'm driving by, I'm seeing all these big skeletons. And people put a lot of money in their Halloween stuff. Amen. And I'm telling you, they're skeletons. They're 15 feet tall or 12 feet tall. And, you know, back in my day, it was a paper skeleton. I don't know if you remember that or not. But you know, there are actually two kingdoms in this world. It's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And in this series, we're going to discover what empowers each kingdom. Because each kingdom is empowered by different elements. And so we want to make sure that we're walking fully in the kingdom of God, fully in the kingdom of light. But you can take on some attributes of the kingdom of darkness, even being saved. And we don't want to do that. And so let's go to my main scripture for the series, and that's Matthew 6:33. And in Matthew 6:33, which we're all familiar with this this scripture, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Notice Jesus is talking about a kingdom. He's saying that we need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every day when you get up, we should be kingdom-minded. We should be thinking about the kingdom of God. Amen? Even the Lord's Prayer about let it be here on earth as it is in heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And I love that. So it's the kingdom that we need to focus on. And I like what the Amplified Translation says. It says, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be added to you." I love the way they amplifies this scripture. And I like what it says here, that we need to take on the attitude and the character of God in this life. Amen. And when we do that, we're emulating him, and we're walking out that kingdom perfectly. So there are two kingdoms in this world, and we're going to focus today on the first part of my message on the kingdom of darkness. You know, there is the kingdom of darkness that's trying to reign out here. You know, the devil, the Bible says, is the god, the little g of this world system. So the devil has some power. Amen. But I'm going to say this, we have greater power. The devil might have some power, and he might be doing some things, and he might be trying to steal, kill, and destroy, but we got the abundant life working in us, glory to God. Amen. And we are praying Christians. Amen. I believe a lot of times bad things happen is because we're not praying enough, amen? And we need to be seeking the kingdom in prayer, amen? And so there's two different kingdoms. And so you have what I want to talk to you this morning about is about the kingdom of darkness, the fall of Lucifer. Amen. Lucifer is the archangel of God. God created Lucifer to be perfect, but he fell. We're going to find out what caused him to fall this morning. And in Isaiah 14:12-14, it says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So we see here that Lucifer's downfall was self-exaltation. He wanted to exalt himself. And we know self-exaltation is putting you in the driver's seat. Lots of Christians, they exalt themselves. They put themselves in the driver's seat. But you know what? When I received Jesus, I moved off the throne of my own heart. In other words, I stopped leading my own life. And I said, Jesus, you are in charge. Yes. Amen. Somebody say, Jesus, you're in charge. And so Lucifer, he had self-exaltation. He wanted to be exalted above God. And you know, and the key here is that it's pride. Pride is the key element that caused Lucifer to fall. And I'm going to say this, there's nothing good in pride. Amen. I know there's, you know, you got people talking about they have these parades that are pride parades. Amen. And there's nothing good about pride. Pride will always cause us our downfall. Do you believe that today? And so Lucifer, he got caught up in his beauty and his gifts. We got to be very careful that we don't think what we have, we got it ourselves. Amen. I'm going to say that. Everything that we have, God gave it to us.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
If you're smart, God gave you your smarts. Amen. If you're talented, God gave you your talents. So if you, whatever you have, you always got to think about this. God gave it to me. So you don't take credit for what you have. You give God credit.
Amen.
Amen. That's how you stay humble, glory to God. That's how you stay humble, glory to God. And so pride says, whatever I have in this life, I got it myself. Pride discounts God in being the source of life. Now let's look at some scriptures pertaining to pride and how devastating pride can be if we allow it to enter our lives, because it's easy. Pride can come into anybody's life at any time.
Amen.
Especially when you start winning and you have success in your life and everything's going well. And then pretty soon you start thinking you're the cat's meow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you start thinking that you're all that and a bag of chips, like I say most often. But we got to be very careful. Even if everything's going our way, we got money in the bank, we got healthy bodies, we got to remember it all comes from God. Amen. Don't think that you got it by your own hand and your own power.
Amen.
See, that's what prideful people say. I got it myself. You know, it was my blood, sweat, and tears that made it happen. No, it was God's grace that made it happen in your life.
Amen.
You got to always revert back to God. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to keep it. Amen. You can lose what you got in a New York second. I'm going to say again, you can work for years and lose everything in a New York second or a New York minute. Everything can change. Amen. And so prideful people can lose the best that God has for them. In Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Notice that. This is what happened to Lucifer. He got too caught up in himself, trying to be God. He fell from his heavenly position. You know, Lucifer had a good position in God. He was an archangel, and he walked with God, and he had all this power and all this authority. Some say that he was one of the top angels in heaven. Glory to God. And he lost it all because of pride. Pride can cause you to lose the good things in your life. I'm going to say it again. Pride can cause you to lose the good things. So pride unchecked will cause us to fall from that good place that God wants us to be in.
Amen.
Do you know that God wants us to be in a good place?
Yes.
He doesn't want us to be in a bad place. And God is the God of promotion, not the God of demotion. And he's trying to promote some of us, amen, to the, somebody say, I'm going to the next level. I'm going to the no matter what it looks like, I'm going to the next level. Why? Because the grace of God's going to help me go to the next level. I'm not staying the same. I'm not going to be stuck. I'm moving forward. Somebody say, I'm moving forward in God. Amen. And so number two, prideful people, common denominator, this is a good one, is violence. Yeah. So a prideful person, it says here in Psalm 73, verse 6, therefore pride serves as their necklace and violence covers them with a garment. Think about that. Pride serves as their necklace and violence covers them like a garment. Prideful people will revert to violence to enforce their opinions and their attitudes on others. Amen. Did you know that? That's what prideful people do. They will revert to violence. And violence is never the way. Violence is never the way. Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek. He taught us to love our enemies. He taught us to walk in love towards the unlovely. He didn't tell us to if they slap you, you slap them back. I wish it would say that every once in a while in the Bible, but it doesn't say that. It says turn the other cheek. That means we got to walk in love. Look at your neighbor and say, walk in love. So pride, the pride of life produces violent people. Prideful people become violent people. And pride connects to anger, and unchecked anger can produce murder in a person's life. That's right. Unchecked anger. And I'm telling you, we're not going to let the sun go down on our anger, glory to God. We're going to be people that get our relationships right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I like this because in Genesis, it talks about the first murder. And this is Cain and Abel. And so we're going to look at Cain and Abel this morning for a little bit, talking about pride, because I believe Cain was in some pride. How many people can agree with me there? He was in some pride. And remember what pride, when you spell it out, the middle letter in pride is I. So it's always about I. And then you take the P off and it takes you for a ride. Amen? R-I-D-E. Amen. So, glory to God. I made that one up myself. Glory to God. With the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Genesis 4, 1 and 8. It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why have your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when he was in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Think about that. So Cain was jealous of Abel's blessing that God gave Abel. So Cain was jealous, and jealousy turns into murder. And prideful people get jealous over the blessings of other people. I'm going to say it again. Prideful people will look at the blessings of others and say, why don't I have the same thing? Amen? But you know what? We don't compare ourselves with other people. Amen. Glory to God. What we have, everything we have, it's a gift from God. Some people may have more, but some people might have less. Amen? And so we don't want to have comparisonitis. We don't want to compare ourselves with other people. We need to be thankful for what we have in God. And if you stay thankful, God can give you more. God can increase you. You believe that today? God instructed Cain to do better so that he could be blessed. But prideful people want to live their life according to their own opinions, their feelings. They want to get God's blessing on their terms. And I'm going to say this, you cannot get God's blessings on your terms. You have to get God's blessings on His terms.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today? In other words, it's God's way.
Amen.
Or the highway. Amen. And I want it God's way. Amen. I want to get God's blessings on His terms. I want to do it God's way. Prideful people want to do it their way. You know, that song in hell, Frank Sinatra sing it, I did it my way. See, prideful people want to live life their way, but humble people want to live life according to God's ways. Can I get a witness in the house today? God instructed Cain to let go of anger, and really Cain had the power to let go of it, and he could have controlled it, but he allowed it to cause a downfall in his life. Prideful people allow their anger to remain until it causes destruction, not only in their lives, but in the lives of others around them. Amen. Then Cain murdered his brother Abel because Abel's deeds were righteous and Cain's deeds were evil. So what was Cain doing? Cain was getting rid of the competition. He wanted to get rid of somebody that was making him look bad. And that's what prideful people do. They want to get rid of what they think are their enemies. Amen? And prideful people try to solve their problems with violence over peaceful measures. Now I'm going to say this. The kingdom of darkness is all about violence. The kingdom of darkness is all about taking out their enemies. But the kingdom of light is about love. It's about loving our enemies, praying for those that despitefully use us. We're not like the world.
No, we're not.
We're like God. And so I love what it says in Matthew 11:12 that sums this point up. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent takes it by force. Now, what this is really saying is, that violent people want to take away the kingdom of God by force. That's what they try to do. That's why there's many martyrs, there's many Christians being martyred on this planet all through the years. And so you have the martyrs. Why? Because the devil's trying to kill us Christians.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Is that right? But prideful people, they need to Get it in check, glory to God. And so they need to get in check. Prideful people tend to be envious of others, self-seeking that produces trouble relationships. So number three, prideful people tend to be envious of others and self-seeking that produces trouble relationships. A prideful person normally doesn't have good relationships with other people. I'm going to say it again. Prideful people don't normally have good relationships with other people. In Proverbs 13:10, it says, by pride comes nothing but strife. Think about this. Pride, nothing comes but strife, but with a well-advised is wisdom. So in Proverbs 13:10, it says, when people are in pride, there's nothing but strife in the relationship. Have you ever thought about that? And so pride produces strife. Amen? Love produces unity.
Yep, amen.
Amen. And so James 3:13-16, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Wow. So James is saying that when we are focused on ourselves, focused on trying to prove our own points, focused on these things, what happens is there's confusion and every evil work. And I don't want evil to be in my relationships. Can I get a witness in the house today? So how do we combat an attitude of pride in our lives? How do we combat that? Well, if you can think about Satan, I would think about Satan as being the prince of pride. But when I think about Jesus, Jesus is the king of humility. Would you say Jesus is the king of humility, glory to God? And I love this because if the devil was brought down by his pride, trying to be like God, trying to exalt his throne above God, what did Jesus do? Jesus submitted fully, 100% to God the Father. And he submitted fully. Let's look at Philippians 2, 5 and 11. This is powerful because I just read to you earlier the downfall of Lucifer to Satan. Now I'm going to talk to you about the uprise of Jesus to the throne of God. This is powerful. And in Philippians 2, 5 and 11, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Notice that Jesus made himself of no reputation. A lot of times Jesus would heal people and he said, "Don't tell them I did it." He would tell people, "Don't tell people that I healed you." Amen. Why? He was making himself of no reputation. He was not trying to take the credit for it. Amen. In other words, everything Jesus did, he said, "It's the Father working in me to do the works." He always gave the credit back to the Father. And we should always give the credit back to God if anything good is happening in our lives. Amen. Amen. And if anything bad is happening in life, you can blame the devil. No, I'm kidding. But a lot of times it's our own doing. The devil can't make you do it. Flip Wilson said, "The devil made me do it." But the devil can't make you do anything. He can't make you sin. No, he can suggest to you. He can try to tempt you. He can try to get you. He can try to talk you into it. But he can't make you do anything. Can I give you even greater truth? God can't even make you do anything. That's a great truth. God doesn't even make you do anything. God leads us and guides us in all truth, but he doesn't force us and press us into doing stuff. Amen. God's a gentleman, glory to God. So he says here, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, because Jesus was in heaven with the Father, and he pretty much laid down his glory and became a humble man. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. Therefore God also, notice this is the promotion here. Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which above every name, that is the name Jesus, every knee shall bow, and those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is powerful because, you know, some unbelievers will say, "I don't believe in Jesus." Some agnostics or people that don't believe in God, they may never confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ while they're living down here, but they will eventually confess him in that day. Glory to God. Everybody will confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ, even though he may not be their Lord. He's a positional Lord. Glory to God. And he won that lordship title when he went to the cross for our sins. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And guess where we're sitting at? We're sitting at the right hand of the Father because we're in Jesus and Jesus is in us. And we have all power and authority at beckon in our hands. Glory God. There's nothing that can keep us down. Hallelujah. So let me give you some keys to being a humble person, because humility is the key for the kingdom of light. Amen. Humility. A humble person is submissive to the will of God. A humble person is submissive to the will of God. This is my first point. There is where That's where we begin. We have to learn to humble and relinquish our power to God's power. We relinquish our day to God's day. We put God in our equation. We pray about everything, especially if we make big decisions. We pray and get God involved. Glory to God. We cannot be submissive to the will of God if we're trying to do our own thing or if we're trying to control our own life. This life is about surrender. The Christian life is about surrendering your will to God's will. And even though sometimes it may not look good, maybe God may want you to do something that doesn't seem right in your mind, but if you do it, God's blessing will be behind it. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen? Jesus was the best example of being a humble, submissive person to the Father. I think about this because Jesus had a couple tests, couple big tests in his ministry. One of the big tests he had was in the wilderness when he combat the devil. And of course, Jesus said, "It is written." Jesus won. Amen. But the second test was in the garden right before he went to the cross. That was a test because Jesus knew that he had to pay for the sins of mankind. And you know what? He wasn't looking forward to going to the cross. Amen. It wasn't something on his bucket list. Amen. Going to the cross wasn't on his bucket list. But he knew that he had to do it. But he was hoping. You know, Jesus prayed. Let's look at this. It says here, talking about Jesus in Matthew 26, 39 through 44. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." Notice he was relinquishing his will to the Father. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said, "Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." See, sometimes we're falling under the weaknesses of our flesh. And I would say the reason why, because we're not praying enough. We're not putting God in the driver's seat in the beginning of our day. And then we're trying to pray in the middle of the temptation. And we need to pray before the temptation comes. Amen. So God can strengthen us so that we can be able to endure it. And again, it says the second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he was relinquishing his will to the Father. A humble person does God's will and not their will. Amen. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Amen. So Jesus really could have called a legion of angels. He could have called angels to save him before going to the cross, but he knew it was God's perfect will. He loved God the Father, and he was willing to do the will of God the Father more than his own will. Amen. Is God more important to you than your own personal life? Amen? God has to be more important. Amen? And so he could have called that legion of angels, but he loved God too much, and he loved us too much. Amen. Because he wanted us all to be saved, delivered, set free. Jesus loved us so much. A humble person, number two, a humble person is a teachable person. Have you ever met somebody that knew it all? They just know it all. Amen? And those type of people, you can't tell them anything. Because they know it all. They tell you everything. And then they tell you how to live your life. Have you ever met those kind of people? So we got to be very careful that we need to be a humble person. We need to be teachable people. In James 1:21, the New Century Version, I'm not too sure if we have that one up, says, put out of your life every evil thing and every kind of wrong, then in gentleness or humility accept God's teaching that is planted in your hearts, which can save your soul. So a humble person receives God's teaching And it can cause us to have saved souls. Glory to God. In Proverbs 13:18, it says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. Think about that. So a humble person, a prideful person, they disregard and refuses instruction. But a humble person regards reproof. And the Bible says if you regard correction from the Lord, the Bible says you will be honored. I don't know about you, but I want the honor of God, and I don't want the honor of men. And if you get the honor of God, you'll get the blessings of God in your life. A humble person is not a know-it-all. They perceive that there's more room for them to grow. In 1 Corinthians 8:2, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. Just because you know something doesn't mean that you know all things. And just because you have some knowledge, the Bible says knowledge actually can puff up. But the Bible says puff up means that puffs you up in pride. You get to know, you know some things. But love, the Bible says, builds up. So knowledge can puff up, makes us think that we're better than other people just because we have a degree. But that doesn't, just because you have a degree doesn't make you better than the other person that doesn't.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And it's not bad to have a degree. I'm not coming against degrees, but I'm not saying don't put your faith and trust in your degree. Put your faith and trust in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That can lead you in all truth.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom.
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but when face to face, now I know in part. But when I shall know, just as I am known. So he's saying here that the Word of God is like a mirror, and we only know in part. We don't know it all.
Amen.
We don't know it all, but God knows it all.
Amen.
And so as we spend time with him, we can get a little glimpse of knowings, having some knowledge and understanding some things, but we're still far from where we need to be. I would say again, we have not arrived. You have not arrived. We got some truth, but there's more truth that we can take a hold of.
Amen.
Amen. A humble person stays, number three, a humble person stays humble in their calling while relating to others. So just because you have a gift and your gift is amazing, that doesn't mean that you are, again, that you exalt yourself over other people. Amen. Because everybody has gifts, even though you may not see their gifts, God has given every person gifts,
Amen.
Talents, and abilities.
Amen.
And some of the things you might do well, and they might not do as well as you, they might do something better than what you can do.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today?
Amen.
And in Ephesians 4:1-2, because sometimes when people get promoted in God, they get prideful. Sometimes they get a big head when they get promoted in God. But we got to keep our feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Amen.
So in Ephesians 4:1-2, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you are called, with all lowliness and with gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit of the bond of peace. Notice he says when we're walking in the callings and the giftings of God, God's blessing us, that we walk with lowliness and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another. Glory to God. This is powerful. This keeps us in a place where we're not thinking that we're greater and better than other people.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to be considerate of other people's feelings. We need to be able to put ourselves in other people's shoes and be able to empathize with other people where they may be at. I don't know about you, but I've been in places where I've been hurting at times. And I've been in a place at times in my faith walk where my faith wasn't as strong as I wanted it to be. And so, and now you might be a faith giant, but don't look down on those people that aren't faith giants.
Amen.
We need to pray for them.
Yes.
lift them up, pray that they get to that next level in God. Amen. So we need to do that. So I'm going to read you another story here about humility. And humility, a key to humility is repentance. That's a key to the willing to say, God, I see I'm going wrong in this area. I'm going to change. I'm not going to stay the same. I'm going to move out of this wrong place. I'm going to move into a good place with you. And in Luke 15, 11 through 19, talking about the wayward son or the prodigal son. And he says here, and I'm going to read it. It says, a certain man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and it began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen in the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. He was in a bad place, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Amen. Amen. So what did he do? He repented. Humility can look at its situation, see, and God can reveal to you that you're not in a good place. And humility repents and goes back to the Father. Amen. Think about that. And so he was humble enough to repent. And then it says in verse 20 to 23, and he arose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Glory to God. And then I think it goes on to say, for my son was dead, but now he's alive. So a humble person is ready to forgive those that do wrong, even against them. Forget about the person, problems that they caused, and restore them back to God. That's what humble people do, glory to God. Humble people forgive, forget, and to restore, glory to God. Amen. And so we need to understand that as we seek humility, Lord, glory to God, as we forgive others, we will be forgiven. Glory to God. And so I want to close out today with two scriptures. Proverbs 11:2 says it this way, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Amen. So pride is nothing but shame, but when you walk in humility, you will have God's wisdom. And then I like Micah 6:8. You may have heard this scripture before. It says this, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen? So I'm going to say this, that the kingdom of darkness is all about pride. And we don't want to have pride anywhere in our lives. And the kingdom of light, the kingdom of love, the kingdom of Jesus is about humility. And we want to walk in humility towards God by obeying Him, walk in humility towards others by serving them. And as we do that, we'll see the grace and the mercy of the love of God in our lives. Did you receive it today? Praise God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness today. I thank you, Father God, for those that are here in the audience, those that are watching online. And perhaps you've never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. I believe if you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit tugging on you today, then you need to confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ and put Him on the throne room of the seat of your heart. So just say this if you're ready to do that. Just say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church online. If you're here locally, come out and be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you move forward in your walk in Christ. And we thank you for tuning in. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.